At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to a slightly late episode of Knowing Wheel. It's not Tuesday, it is Wednesday this week, we do apologise for that. But I am joined, as always, by Jamie183. How are we doing, my friend? Have you got a nice ski tan for us?
Oh, definitely. Yes, I just got back from the Alps yesterday, which is why this episode is delayed. It was all my fault, which I'm happy to accept. Yeah, not much snow to be found in the Alps in July, but it was very cool, very nice.
Clearly not going high enough up in the Alps. But before we dive into this one, though, we've got to make a little bit of an apology, haven't we, Jamie? as is Knowing Wheel tradition, it would appear, we said last week that we were going to do an F1 Iceberg video today, you know, go into part 3, dive in with some cool things like that. Unfortunately, then, between us recording the podcast and the podcast going live, Red Bull decided that Daniel Ricciardo was driving the AlphaTauri again. We probably should have done, like, a pre-recorded announcement show for just when Ricciardo was going to get announced, because it kind of felt like it was always bound to happen. But yeah, so that kind of screwed us over there. And I did see we got a lot of comments from people going, how are you like a Formula One podcast if you've missed, like, the massive piece of news?
All the time.
This week. But it's Knowing Wheel tradition. For anyone that wants to follow Formula One, just make sure you check Twitter, usually on a Tuesday, because that's when everything happens.
I don't know why, because you'd feel like it'd be on a Monday most of the time.
Well, on Monday, I suppose it's long enough after one Grand Prix that teams aren't doing all their social media stuff on the Grand Prix still, but far enough in front of the next Grand Prix.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, basically, every bit of major news gets dropped between our recording time on a Monday evening and the podcast going live on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, between 5:30 on a Monday night and 6:30 on a Tuesday evening is where everything in the world of Formula One apparently goes down. But, I mean, I haven't quite worked out what the title of the podcast is going to be yet, but we may as well go in with the clickbait, shouldn't we, Jamie? Daniel Ricciardo to AlphaTauri.
He's
what
back.
Are our thoughts and feelings?
I don't mind it. I'm fairly pleased he's back, I think. Nick De Vries was, as we've established over the course of the season, quite a wasted spot on the grid at 28 years old as a young driver. But I say that Ricciardo's 34 in a young driver's seat. But he's actually got a bit of talent. I mean, De Vries is good, but, you know, he's not... I think we found out he's not quite at the level of F1, which I'm sure in 5 years' time he can probably reflect on and see that. But, yeah, I think I'm happy. And I think it's very strategic. It's like a chess game always with Red Bull, because they're trying to put pressure on Perez, I think. Let's just get the elephant out of the room. That's not the saying, is it? Elephant in the room. That Perez...
Get the elephant out of the room.
Yeah, Perez is going to be under a lot of pressure to pick it up if Ricciardo or Tsunoda, in fact, puts one of the other ones in the shade. I feel like, if one of those drivers beats the other one considerably over the course of the second half of the season, then they will be driving the Red Bull in 2024.
Well, Perez has still got a contract for 2024. I think that's the...
I don't think he does, does he?
He does. He's still under contract for 2024. He signed a 2-year deal heading into this season. Yeah, I mean, we said this pretty much from the announcement, didn't we? That we felt it was a massive risk by Red Bull, of course, to put Nick De Vries into that team after seeing him do one Formula One Grand Prix. Mm. It kind of felt like this. We ask so many questions of Red Bull as a Formula One team at the moment, don't we? But should De Vries have been the person to get sacked when someone clearly is making the decision behind the scenes after watching him do one Formula One race? Because Mercedes have had him do an extensive testing. Aston Martin have had him doing extensive testing. McLaren back when he was a junior driver for them, did extensive testing. He's been in the Williams as well. He's pretty much driven half of the Formula One cars on the grid at some point or another. Clearly, everyone else was seeing something that were making them hesitant to put him in a Formula One car that Red Bull just didn't. And it seems like in this instant, all the other F1 teams were correct in their judgment, wasn't
it? Yeah, and I do think it, like, there's a conversation to be had that the AlphaTauri seat for 2023 that De Vries took, they weren't really, they didn't, it was kind of a wasted seat. It was never really good. Like, they've got no Verstappens and Vettels and Ricciardos coming through the junior category at the minute, who are certainly, maybe they're a bit younger, but none that are on the cusp of Formula One. So,
well, none in Formula 2, are there, really?
No, not really.
You've got a couple of decent drivers at the moment, but no one
none that are
all too
be
special.
Crazy, crazy good. So it kind of felt like, let's get a safe pair of hands who Tsunoda can test himself against. But, yeah, De Vries, you think on his best days, he's probably going to give you a 7 out of 10. Like, and he was kind of the driver. He does seem like a safe pair of hands, because he's obviously done an awful lot of mileage in testing. But he doesn't seem much of a racer, if you get what I mean. Like, yeah, he's almost the perfect reserve driver in that sense. So I would have preferred to see Liam Lawson in there, especially as he did end up finishing third in F2 last year. But that's the way it goes. And I do kind of think, yeah, the fact that they've put in a 28-year-old and then a 34-year-old into their second junior seat kind of shows problems with Red Bull's young driver program, potentially. And maybe problems that Helmut Marko should pack it in, but yeah, who knows?
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it, at the moment? It raises so many questions, because even you saying that then, have you noticed more recently, Red Bull don't refer to it as the junior team anymore?
No.
It's referred to as the
sister
team.
Yeah.
Which is, again, another very, very telling sign of how confused Red Bull seem to be with their two-team organisation at the moment. I mean, we know that it's not going to be called AlphaTauri next year. Of course, that was a brand decision for their clothing brand, wasn't it? Mm. Back in 2019. We don't know what they're calling the team next year, whether they're still looking at the option of a quick sale as well. We just don't know. It really does seem, of course, because especially the rumour mill at the moment is saying Yuki Tsunoda to Aston Martin for 2026. When obviously Aston Martin take up Honda power units. Because, of course, that was always the thing as well, wasn't it? Yuki Tsunoda wasn't a Red Bull Junior for a long time. He was a Honda Junior.
What, Honda Dream Project, wasn't it?
Exactly. Whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It was only then, of course, he was kind of shoehorned into the Red Bull Young Driver program through, obviously, Honda. So it just seems, and, we have all these talks as well. We've mentioned it before on the show about Max Verstappen. He doesn't really give us the impression that he wants to race in Formula One, into his late 30s. Could we see Red Bull in, could we be saying, Jamie, if for whatever reason we're still doing this show in 5 years from now, Adrian Newey's retired, Red Bull aren't quite the powerhouse they are now, Max Verstappen maybe has jumped ship? Could we be, in 5-10 years discussing a Red Bull team in the same way we discuss McLaren now? That just has gone through their heyday and doesn't look to return?
You never know. See, but then there's a brilliant video with Eddie Jordan, filmed in 2015 Singapore, I think. And he basically called that Mercedes wouldn't be a team by the end of 2020. He was giving 5-year big predictions. And he said that Mercedes are going to get bought out by a Chinese consortium and be like Dragon Team Racing, I think. Or something like that.
Dragon Speed,
yeah. And he was like, well, he basically said it's all going to happen. And it was very, very much put on for a good clickbait title, you assume. But
because it's Eddie Jordan, isn't he? Yeah. He's mad.
He basically just throws a lot of darts at a wall and then 1 in a million will hit the right thing. But
hit the bullseye.
Yeah, yeah, it's, I think Red Bull are here for the long run, to be honest.
Although, and I'm not saying that.
Replacing Christian Horner whenever he ends up calling it a day or moving on, that would be really hard, because they have been a one-man team in terms of he has led it from the very beginning.
So. But more and more Formula One teams, we seem to find the Formula One teams either go completely that way or completely the opposite way, don't we? I remember we discussed this pretty much at New Year, I think, wasn't it? When obviously Ferrari got rid of Mattia Binotto. and obviously talking about the fact that in the time Ferrari has had five team principals, Mercedes had Toto Wolff and Red Bull had Christian Horner.
Mm.
You know, Christian Horner, I mean, what, he's in his early 50s, isn't he? Same age as Toto Wolff.
Yeah.
I can see them both going until, you know, late 50s, maybe into their 60s, potentially. I mean, they've both got enough money, they could call it quits now if they wanted. But I meant more as an organisation. Could Red Bull be that team in the future that once they, you know, in the same way we spoke about Ferrari for a long time, of course, when they lost Jean Todt, Michael Schumacher, Ross Brawn.
It could
definitely
be like
that same thing with Horner, Verstappen and Adrian Newey?
I suppose quite easily. And they could be, you saw it already in a microcosm way in 20, when Vettel left to some extent and Newey went off to do his own things. Like 2015 definitely was that dip, obviously, and he really lasted a year and a half. But yeah. It could happen very easily. And this is what's great about Formula One. It ebbs and flows. Like, no dominance goes on forever. Even Mercedes 8 years in a row, which was completely unprecedented.
And now, a lot of that wasn't dominance in the same way a lot of people like to think it was either.
Of some course, of the years definitely
yeah,
were.
The first 3 years, don't get me wrong. 2017 and 18 weren't particularly. It was made to look more dominant based on the fact Ferrari threw it away. But I think we could both absolutely argue, you know, a lot of other teams, given that Ferrari car, could have absolutely taken it right to the bitter end against Mark.
Yeah, but 19 and 20 again were pretty dominant.
The first half of 19 especially. Second half of 19 was wild. Nice Ferrari engines. But yeah, it's strange, isn't it? And I mean, let's be fair, we're kind of at this weird crossroad at the moment, aren't we? Where Red Bull very easily could dominate until 2026 or something quite major could change. But we've kind of gone very, very off topic there, haven't we?
Yeah.
The big question, Jamie, I think at the moment, what do we do if Yuki Tsunoda wipes the floor with Daniel Ricciardo in a similar fashion to Nick De Vries?
Get him in the Red Bull. Genuinely.
And what happens to Daniel Ricciardo?
He can, I guess if he wants to stay in AlphaTauri, he can, but I'd feel like for him, if he got trounced by another young driver like he did with Norris, I think he wouldn't want to stay, to be honest.
Do you think he'd even be given the option to stay, do you?
Well, I don't think Red Bull have two drivers to fill the seats in AlphaTauri, so I guess they'd probably give Ricciardo the option if he wanted
Lawson
to stay.
Lawson and Perez?
I don't see Perez dropping down to the B team now, to be honest. I think Lawson definitely could. He's obviously doing very well in Super Formula, and that's a very well-trodden path with Gasly and Van Dorn in the past. Obviously, Van Dorn not with Red Bull, but yeah, potentially. I don't think Perez will drop down, but maybe it's a Lawson, somebody else. I don't know. Maybe who else would even be that guy? Because no one in F2 is doing.
You kind of look at Formula 2, aren't you, then, really? You're just trying to chuck one up and hope they swim rather than sink.
Yeah, but it's not gone great with, well, I guess Logan Sargeant probably went up a year too early, maybe 2 years too early.
Yeah, but Williams had always admitted that as well, though. They knew they were probably pushing him up a bit too soon. But that being said, to be fair to him, obviously hasn't been on the same level as Alex Albon, but Williams is definitely a much more nurturing environment than AlphaTauri seems to be.
I guess you've got Iwasa,
could be an option. Yeah, really go Honda Dream Team again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it? The writing was on the wall pretty much immediately for Nick De Vries. I really still believe there was something else going on there behind the scenes. Politically, the Red Bull was so against him so quickly.
Well, Helmut Marko said, didn't he, that him and Christian Horner disagreed. And I can't remember which way around it was, but I think it was Christian...
Horner didn't want him.
Didn't want him.
Yeah.
And Helmut Marko put him in and then basically realised that he was wrong. So, yeah, you feel like if that's the case, basically Horner runs the team and Marko runs the junior programme. And the one who runs the team calls the shots, ultimately. So, yeah, as soon as there's an excuse to get him out, Horner was going to take it. So, it's a shame for Nick De Vries, but I'm excited to see Ricciardo back. And I think it's good for the sport. And I'm very glad he gets to race at Vegas at the end of the year. Great.
I think that's the other thing, isn't it, as well? Ricciardo is so marketable. If this is part of some bigger plan that AlphaTauri want to get, you know, Red Bull want to try and sell off AlphaTauri in the near future, you know, I'm sure a few more number threes on an AlphaTauri hat will be quite a popular sale in and around the F1 world as well. But it's a weird little thing going on. Because, I mean, the other thing, of course, is the fact that, you know, Red Bull have built this utterly dominant car in 2023. but AlphaTauri don't even take as many parts as they can off them. Like, they're just seemingly leaving performance on the table, you know. Get your tinfoil hats on for 1 second. But I love the theories at the moment going around that, you know, AlphaTauri are using a lot of their cost caps and things like that and their wind tunnel testing time to aid Red Bull, which I think is hilarious as an idea. But that leads us on quite nicely, doesn't it, Jamie? Because apparently, the rumour mill churning, literally today, this is hot off the press.
For the first time ever, we've actually timed it right.
Three teams allegedly are in breach of the cost cap from 2022.
Indeed. And yeah, this is very much non-official. There's been no... I guess it's slightly creditable. I think it's...
I would hardly call Motorsport the Twitter account you've linked me.
No,
credible.
But it's, they're quoting a tweet, an article
with their own tweets
from motorsport.com, Italian version. Okay. So that's fairly creditable.
It's Ferrari's propaganda website.
Yeah. So basically, there's three teams that are rumoured to have breached the cost cap in 2022, with no confirmation of who it is or by how much. You assume it's probably teams exploiting the same loophole Red Bull did in 2021.
What, spend a lot of money on shrimp?
Yeah. Just don't leave any money for food and then spend it all. But yeah, I struggle. Obviously, don't want to guess and drag teams' names through the mud. It would be very funny if it's Red Bull again doing the same trick. It could well be Aston Martin. That's just because they've made that leap, obviously. Mercedes is the sort of team. I guess they're not really the sort. They would try and play by the rules, but if they see Red Bull doing something, they probably want to do it themselves as well. And then, yeah, maybe...
I love the fact you said, I'm not going to try and drag any teams through the mud. You proceeded to drag three teams through the mud.
If I had to guess, I would say Red Bull, Aston Martin, and Ferrari. Although saying that, Haas broke
a
lot of cars.
Hang on a minute. So you just said you reckon Mercedes are going to do it and then haven't included them in your three.
No, I was harsh on Mercedes. They're a very gentleman. They do things right, don't they? So
they do. You're absolutely right. Yeah. They play by the rules, Jamie.
Boring.
I'm proud to
boring.
See you appreciate
not Maverick.
That. You're right. Not Maverick enough for you. Sorry, I forgot you're Logan Paul's biggest fan. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because this is the bigger picture behind the cost cap as well, is there is a lot of politics at play with that at the moment. And Stefano Domenicali has apparently already come out saying any team breaching the cap should face sporting penalties instead of financial ones.
He has no say over the FIA and the stewarding.
I'm well aware he doesn't. Yeah. Thank you. But I'm already... If this is true, and if three teams have gone over, and depending on the penalty that they get, I'm getting slightly worried that we're already seeing a repeat of... Do you remember when they brought in the... It wasn't financial fair play, but it was a similar kind of idea back in the early 2010s to Formula One. But it was so loosely restricted and not even enforced that it was pointless.
Yeah.
Are we already potentially entering into a timeline where the budget cap is more of a recommendation than a set in stone?
Yeah, I feel like
kind of thing.
Kind of like the track limits have been in the last 5 to 10 years. Like,
well, track limits have been fine.
No, obviously
recently.
They have been now, but in 2017-16 time, there was a point they had to clamp down on it, and no one liked it when it first got done, but eventually they've all had to clean their act up. So I feel like this is the opportunity.
Austria, mate.
Well, yeah, tried to clean their act up, apart from Esteban Ocon. But this is... I feel like if they don't clamp down on it now, they're going to let it spiral out of control. So, yeah. But I do think there's a bigger conversation to be had about cost cap, because obviously we've seen James Vowles at Williams saying, like, everyone's facilities are basically locked down because no one can invest in their facilities anymore.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit dumb, because you've got teams like Aston Martin who were very clever and got their facilities done up before the cost cap. And obviously teams like McLaren, Mercedes, Red Bull, who've got really, really state-of-the-art facilities, are fine. But teams on the up, say Alfa Romeo's or the... Well, actually saying that, Sauber's factories are quality, aren't they? Because of BMW. But...
Yeah, not anymore.
I guess they'll be out of date by now, but they were investing heavily back then. But the likes of Haas, obviously Williams, even AlphaTauri to an extent, like...
Are you telling me Minardi didn't leave them with a state-of-the-art factory? Poor Stoddart let us down.
Yeah. But those kind of teams will always be the backmarker teams, because you can't catch up with worse facilities. So,
and
there is a conversation to be had about cost cap generally, I think.
Well, the other thing as well, isn't it, of course, is Williams, for example, I think can allegedly just about reach the cost cap. Of course, they've got a lot of investment coming in at the moment, which is fantastic to see. And I would love to see them finish the year in P7. But are we? I mean, like you said, obviously, it's still not fair as such.
Yeah, you kind of want, what I would like to see, you kind of have a cost cap, which is maybe a little bit lower than it is right now, but it's just for the operations of a Formula One team. And then you can kind of have maybe a different cost cap, or you can spend in proportion to your revenue on your facilities and infrastructures, because that's not really related to your day-to-day running of the team. That's just going to help you as a team.
Well, what Formula One, I reckon, would need to do, and don't get me wrong, I'm never suggesting this would happen in a million years, because of course it wouldn't, is
give
all
everyone
the
same factory.
Well, not give everyone the same. I wasn't even going to say that. Not even give that. Would be every team has to put in like $20 million and then they get staggered at the end of the year. So like the team that finishes last gets like $60 million.
That would make sense.
$40 million for like second last, 30, 20, 10, whatever. So the bottom team. But of course, why on earth would a Red Bull, for example, give Williams $30 million? It would never happen.
And you've kind of got to get, I think it's five teams have got to agree to it. So you're kind of looking at your bottom five teams. Would they all agree? Maybe.
Well, AlphaTauri wouldn't, because they have to vote Red Bull.
Yeah.
And there it was immediately gone.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. I mean, it's so nuanced. I mean, what the likely response, I feel, is that there's going to be a complete reshuffle of how the cost cap works.
Yeah.
Because if we're seeing teams... Yeah, if we're seeing teams break it every year as well. Like if, for example, it is Red Bull, again, say this time around they just push the envelope a little bit further. You know, let's be fair. And not trying to take away from the fact that Adrian Newey's just a genius. That penalty's made no difference, has it?
No.
they were able to win 2021 through it, and they were able to spend more money for 2022. You tell us all this stuff about how it's not had any effect on the actual car. BS, isn't it? It has to be. You know, it hasn't slowed them down at all. They'll have made money back than they were from that penalty. We just need...
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be measured in a more sophisticated way.
Exactly. And this is always going to take time.
Yeah. Putting a big lump sum, you can't spend more than this, apart from these random things like wages on your top three personnel and stuff like that, it's a bit dumb. But actually, yeah, trying to get the teams to work with the FIA and actually come up with some more detailed parameters, basically, so that people... So it's more sensible, because it doesn't really make a lot of sense right now.
And I mean, this is the other thing I thought about as well, is, you know, whether the FIA, of course, because Formula One's making a fat profit at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's whether the FIA allocates some of their profits out to different teams. But of course, then you run the risk of, you know, say, for example, they give Williams $10 million extra next year and they make a huge break for a win a world championship. You know, you could easily have five different teams winning world championships in 5 years. But then, of course, you cheapen those world championships as well. It's such a complicated thing, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, but definitely.
If it's true, then not a great look. No. We've got a few other little bits and pieces to talk about as well, haven't we, Jamie? But I'm actually going to intersperse this quickly with your quiz.
Oh, no. Is it who's broken the cost cap? I've already done that quiz.
It's not who broke the cost cap, funnily enough. So, Jamie183, the Hungaroring came to the Formula One calendar back in 1986.
You're not going to ask me about 1986, are you?
I'm not going to ask you about 1986. Okay, however, two drivers won their one and only Grand Prix at the Hungaroring since its inception.
Mm.
What I want you to do is name me every single Formula One driver that has won exactly... Oh, let me get your timer.
This is going to be hard. Okay.
That has won exactly one Formula One Grand Prix since 1986. You've got...
Wow. Okay.
1 minute. There is 11 drivers.
Okay, that's not
you
too bad.
You have got 1 minute. Your time starts now.
Ocon, Gasly.
Yep.
Sainz.
Yep.
Kovalainen.
Yep.
Who won one race? That's such a weird thing. Oh, Trulli.
Yep.
Not Perez. He's one more now. One exact race.
That's you actually... should know all of these.
Oh, Kubica.
Yeah. 25 seconds.
Oh, dear. Random drivers. Maldonado.
I think you've only got four more.
Are they old?
15 seconds.
This is really hard.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
Johnny Herbert?
Four,
no.
Nope. 3, oh, no. 2, 1.
How, so I'm pretty what years were they? What years were they?
Well, one of them you're going to kick yourself.
Are they on the grid now?
2022.
Oh, George Russell. Yeah.
There you go. There's one.
Yeah.
The other three, I reckon if I give you the year, you'll be able to get them.
Do it. I want to test myself.
1996.
Oh, Panis.
Yep. 1995.
Well, I'm not sure I get that.
Very famous win.
Famous win in 95.
I know if I give you the track, you'll get it.
Really?
Yeah. Easy.
In my head, 95 is just a Schumacher dominant year. Oh, Alesi, is it?
Well done. Yeah. There you go. And the last one was 1989.
That'll be hard, won't it? Is it Chicheseris?
Yeah. No.
I don't think he won a race. I have no idea.
I don't think he ever did. The last one, Jamie. Italian.
Italian. Did he have Pironi?
Nope.
Oh. No, he won way more than one, didn't he? Nannini.
Yes.
Right. Oh, there we go. Chizuka,
and of course, that
Senna,
was only controversial, of course, because Senna did win it.
Yeah.
And Nannini
that was possible.
Very famously.
Possible, but quite hard.
Yes, yeah, I thought that one was a good, tricky one, but not ridiculous for a change.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alessandro Nannini, of course, famously after that race, got very happy for me, but of course gutted by Ayrton Senna.
Yeah.
Because he knew Senna absolutely had really won that Grand Prix. But he did very well there. I was impressed. Sorry, I'm now looking at most wins per season in Formula One, which is an interesting stat.
Max Verstappen, very soon.
Yeah, I'm just because it's doing it by year. So, for example, 1982 had five separate drivers each win two Grand Prix, which is quite wild. None of them, of course, won the World Championship that year. Three of them were French. Disgusting.
Oh,
sorry, that's really bad. currently, Max Verstappen has an 80% win rate this season, which is able to keep that up. Will be an F1 record.
Do you know he's averaging more than 25 points a race weekend? At the
he is. He is.
It's ridiculous.
Moment. Absolutely insane. Anyway, Jamie, let's go back to the show before we slag off the French anymore, because apparently that's now a weekly bit as well. Brad Pitt is back in Hungary.
Yeah,
there's a fun little nugget
he's,
of information for you.
Coming for the Red Bull seat.
Apparently, all the AlphaTauri seat.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
what was if he's quicker than Daniel Ricciardo?
Well, there's a yeah. He made it further than Nick De Vries did into this season, so there's that. I've not really got much to add.
He has as well. That's quite worrying, isn't it? Apparently they're going to be at six races, including Britain and Hungary, for the end of the year. Vegas is surely one of them.
Oh, yeah. That would definitely...
Probably
Kota. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what the others could be, though.
They love a Latin American country in Hollywood, don't they? So Brazil.
Well, I was going to say Singapore, to be honest.
Yeah, it could be Singapore. Or one of the night races, because Qatar's back, isn't it?
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Mainly because I've been racing LaSalle on F123 and it's such a fun track.
Great track, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Not a fantastic Formula One racing circuit, I'll
no.
be honest, but it is a fantastic track. It's a qualifying track.
The venue of Lewis Hamilton's second last win ever.
It is, yeah. Well, third last, really. But still. it's like Mugello as well. I'd love to see that return.
Yeah.
I reckon what Formula One needs to do is, for example, make the cars qualify at Mugello and then race at Monza or something like that.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, Monza's always a right laugh when everyone trips over each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we get back on topic?
We should get back on topic. In exciting news today,
yes.
Literally an hour before we start recording, Nicholas Latifi resurfaced.
Oh,
and
he
I
did.
Never thought I'd be happy to see that. Bless his heart.
Yeah, he's going to do an MBA, isn't he?
Is it an MBA? It is an MBA, isn't it? A business MBA at London University.
Yeah.
Bless him.
He's off to go and do business stuff.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Which is always quite funny when, of course, he was saying he's had a passion for business since he was a kid, which I think I'm not surprised you have, mate. Your dad's a billionaire. I'm sure that'll be very, very good fun. You know, just sit on his riches. Drink lavats of coffee all the time.
Well, and Nutella. Well, I'm glad he's doing well, because his treatment after 2021, Abu Dhabi, was awful. So
that is also cannot be argued against, bless him. You know, I certainly don't feel that Latifi deserve the hate he got. All of that hate should have been directed at Michael Massey. Anyway, back on topic.
Yes, let's promote hate. We love it.
Yeah, but yeah, bless. I always thought Latifi was going to be doing IndyCar this year for some reason.
He didn't race anything this year, did he?
He's not done any racing at all.
Yeah, and now he's going to take a break and go to university. And yeah,
I reckon I'll ever see him back in a proper top series race car.
I doubt
it. I can see him doing Le Mans. I can see him doing like LMP2 or something like that.
I think if he wants to, if he's all about business, big is his calling, his career now, then he might just stay there. So,
or stay in business.
Yeah,
fair enough. He'll just sit on daddy's money, won't he?
He had a good run in F1, but he didn't deserve many more.
I think
3 years.
Good, strong.
Well, he had a
the fact he got 3 years was thanks to COVID. Really,
he's probably one of the worst drivers to ever last 3 years in F1.
Hey, got to be up there. Got to be up there. Yeah. Bless him. Jamie.
Yes, hello.
McLaren were back last weekend.
They were.
We now have seen four teams second best in 2023. McLaren, Ferrari, Aston Martin, and Mercedes.
Not Alpine.
Alpine haven't been second fastest anywhere, have they?
No, they've been third on a couple of occasions.
That's not second. That's not what we're talking about. And that was only really Esteban Ocon, which pains us to say.
Gasly was there in Australia.
Oh, yeah, Australia. I forgot about that. I was just thinking of Monaco, to be honest. You know, McLaren, probably not in that fight, but they could give Alpine a bit of trouble towards the end of the year. But if you had to call right now, who would you say is finishing second in the drivers? Well, third, really, in the drivers. I guess we could say second in the drivers and constructors in 2023. Yeah.
Well, I think Perez.
Clip worthy content.
Perez will finish second in the drivers, I think.
Okay, behind Perez then.
Behind Perez, I would guess Lewis Hamilton.
Good man.
It'll be basically Hamilton or Alonso, is I think probably definitely the strongest two drivers in that second pack. But I think Hamilton probably will have the more consistent car over the course of the second half of the season.
And but, is a better driver.
That's debatable. We'll not get into that. But and constructors-wise, I think equally Mercedes, just because their car is the most predictable in terms of consistency.
I think Mercedes would argue differently after Silverstone.
Maybe, but even then they still got a podium, didn't they? So, but that was luck-based more than anything. But yeah, I think the Aston Martin has some tracks where it's just awful. The McLaren will be really good at high-speed tracks and not very good at slow-speed tracks. And Ferrari are Ferrari, so... Yeah,
Ferrari will somehow find a way to finish fifth in a three-way scrap for V2.
If they finish fifth in a three-way fight for the title between them, Mercedes and Red Bull at the start of the season, that would be impressive.
Very, very. So go on then. If you had to place all of the Aston Martin, Mercedes, Ferrari, and McLaren drivers come the end of the year, what order would you be putting them in?
So basically the top five teams, drivers.
Yeah. Yeah, do all top five teams, I
suppose. Well, Verstappen, Perez, Hamilton, Alonso.
Yeah.
Russell next.
Yeah.
Then probably Leclerc.
Yeah.
Sainz.
Okay.
Norris, Stroll.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then probably Ocon, Piastri. Then Piastri. Ocon, oh, Gasly, fair. And then Piastri.
Fair enough. You reckon? Yeah, I suppose. I mean, we still don't really know just how quick that McLaren's going to be around some of the tighter circuits. Yeah. Do we still?
And McLaren,
I mean,
are ahead
this weekend.
McLaren are ahead of Alpine. Did you see the brilliant screenshot when someone asked Piastri, what do you think about McLaren overtaking Alpine? And in the background, he's got Alonso grinning his face off.
Seems about right.
It's so good.
Seems about right. I mean, it does make me laugh when you had all these people going on at Oscar at the start of the year going, oh, you've made such a terrible mistake going to McLaren, not Alpine. He probably went to the team that was going to pay him more money.
I'd imagine so.
And I know we spoke about this last week as well. I think Oscar Piastri this year has been incredibly underrated.
He's been very
solid. Because Lando Norris kicked bottoms against Daniel Ricciardo. And, you know, obviously early on against Carlos Sainz, if rookie season, everything like that, he more than stacked up against him as well, I think. In probably what you'd argue now was Sainz's best 2 years in the sport, wasn't it? His last year at McLaren, first year at Ferrari. You know, I was thinking about that a couple of days ago when, remember 2021 when we had all these drivers move teams and Sainz was the only one that moved and kicked on. Obviously beat Leclerc that year. You know, Leclerc was a bit unlucky as well on occasion. Oscar Piastri, though, I think is really, you know, really
hot
good.
Hot property. What would your top 10 be, real quick?
I forgot to mention, I was pretty much exactly the same as you. I think, you know, we both know Wheel pretty well. So when we inevitably get it entirely wrong and somehow Nicholas Latifi returns and wins a world title racing for Lavazza Business Power Team. We'll talk about that another day, I'm sure. Last bit of news I think we've got before we do predictions then, Jamie, for the Hungarian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton is apparently incredibly close now to a new contract with Mercedes. They wanted it done before the summer break, and it could be announced as soon as the Hungaroring, allegedly.
Yeah, it's good for both parties. If he wants to stay, I think they'll have him stay as long as he wants. So, yeah, good stuff.
This is the thing, isn't it? Like, a lot of people gave Lewis stick last year for finishing behind George. And they're like, oh, it's Hamilton's over. You know, it's the end of his Formula One career. Like, let me quickly grab back up the standings at the moment. Like, Lewis is kicking George's bottom, isn't he? For the most part.
Yes. Yeah, and Russell has got a touch unlucky, but not hugely. Obviously,
with the exception of Australia. But even then, he was not on the right strategy at the start anyway, so I don't think he was going to hang on. You know, it might have been close between him and Lewis, but I don't think he was easily going to hang on. Lewis has got 121 points this year. George has got 82. So he's pretty much got as big a lead over George already as George did by the end of last season.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that Hamilton is the stronger driver still all round, for sure. But yeah, you kind of think over the next 3 years, maybe it'll level out and Russell might get a bit stronger as he develops and as Hamilton, I guess, goes beyond his peak. Although for Alonso, that hasn't mattered at all.
Well, Alonso peaked nearly 20 years ago now. Yeah.
First race win was 20 years ago this weekend.
Oh, it's mad, isn't it? Oh, dear me. And Kimi Räikkönen already won 20 years ago, hadn't he?
And Alonso, in the last 20 years, has as many victories as Verstappen has in this year and last year, pretty much.
Sorry?
How many wins has Verstappen?
Oh, last year as well. Sorry, I get you.
As in, Verstappen has 25 wins in the last 2 years?
Yeah, the last two seasons.
Alonso's got 32 in total.
Deary me. I mean, there's levels to... this is what I wanted to do at some point as well with you. An F1... I'm trying to think of the right way to word this, but like a world champion each year tier list. Like utterly dominant to didn't deserve kind of thing. I want to do that at some point.
For 2016.
Yeah, 2016. That would be a great one for that.
Or 1982.
A bit of nostalgia. But yeah, I mean, it'd be good for Hamilton as well, of course, because I think, you know, we spoke early on this year, you know, could he go to Ferrari? He made some fantastic clickbait. he's going to be at Mercedes till he calls it quits, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a Mercedes engine merchant. Never got a point with any other engine.
Nope, nor has he ever needed to. You love to see.
Nico Hülkenberg has more poles with an un-Mercedes engine than Lewis Hamilton does. My goat.
Wowee. Hamilton probably has more penalties. More podiums if he was on a push bike than Nico Hülkenberg.
Well, he certainly equals it.
Still. Yeah, he's got as many podiums probably on a push bike as Hülkenberg has. Hülkenberg, Jamie, has only scored points once this season. What's going on there?
Twice, thank you.
Once.
Austria sprint.
Oh, that don't count. Not even that.
And he's still, what, P11, is he? He's
P14,
well.
Mate. He's behind Alex Albon in the championship.
Oh, that's not going great. Well, the Haas is absolute rubbish, so he's trouncing his teammate, the fraud.
Fair enough. Predictions then, Jamie, for the Hungarian Grand Prix?
What's going on?
I don't know where I'm going with this, mate.
Hungarian Grand Prix. I've been losing ground, so I'm going to say Verstappen pole.
What is the scores on the doors, sorry?
I think I'm one ahead. Yeah, well, I'm 39-38.
Mm.
Okay. So I will go Verstappen pole, Verstappen yep. win.
Boring. Perez, so Perez he's breaking second. The record.
He is. Perez second, Alonso third.
Oh, you dick. Literally my top three. Literally in exactly the same order and everything. I mean, I can't just do the same, can I?
Exactly.
And the Merc's so bad on the low... On the high downforce tracks.
Alpine won it 2 years ago.
Yeah, but luck and an Alonso...
Pierre Gasly race
fend.
Win. Race
yeah,
win number
Pierre
two.
Gasly's going to win. Imagine Ocon and Gasly get a double podium. Disgusting.
What are you going for?
I wanted to do exactly that. It was what I wanted to go for. But I got to go different, haven't I, somewhere. You know
just
what?
Back a Perez Q2 exit again. And
yeah,
just...
that's all I'm thinking at the moment. Verstappen, Alonso, Hamilton.
That's
I'm
so
losing
dead.
Points this week. I never should have let you go first. That was what I shouldn't have done. I mean, you can't call that dead when you picked
No, but
Verstappen.
Collectively our predictions are boring as.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Apologies for that.
Hungary is often actually quite a track that does quite well for delivering
yeah.
weird and wonderful
well,
podiums,
we had,
isn't it?
We had Russell pole last year, didn't we, for the first time?
We did, yeah. There's only ever pole still in Formula 1.
Yeah.
With Russell.
Yeah, yeah. As many poles as Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, yeah. Same, he's got more podiums.
in the best car. Hulk's never had the best car.
Hulk needs the best driver's get. Actually, Hulk has had the third fastest car, 2020, my friend. Still going to get a podium there.
Well,
he
qualified on the podium.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, we should probably call it.
There was a tiny part of me in Austria that did want to see him get a podium in the sprint, just so I could remind you it doesn't count.
Oh, I would absolutely have taken that.
I know you would have, and I would have reminded you every week forever that it doesn't count. But yeah, we probably should call it a show there. I think we've done pretty well this week. Got our predictions locked in for the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Bit of rambling.
Next week's show, ladies and gentlemen, it's
going to
be an absolute car crash.
Stay tuned.
Jamie and I will be doing a podcast together. It's going to be incredibly sweaty because we're on holiday. It's going to be warm. And we hope we're not going to get invaded by our friends when we do it.
We definitely won't get invaded. I'm locking that door.
Fair play. I don't want to be locked in a room with you, mate, to be honest.
Oh, true,
but there
yeah.
we are. Thank you all, as always, though, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. As always, you know, quick housekeeping, as always, if you're watching this on my main channel, obviously 2024, we're going to be shifting over to the Knowing Wheel channel exclusively. So if you're not already, please do make sure you get yourself subbed over there as well. And yeah, we'll be back very, very soon with more Knowing Wheel.